This is Let's Talk Business with your host, Mark Ebinger. Now, here's Mark.
Welcome to Let's Talk Business, a show that highlights and promotes entrepreneurs to learn more about their vision, goals, and marketing strategy. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about building an IT services company that emphasizes relationship building through high-quality service delivery and great customer service, which you can never get enough of that. In studio with us today is Wes Ulmer and Shane Mishler with SD Tech, an IT services company that's been around for over 20 years. Wes and Shane, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us today.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you very much.
You guys are good people. I mean, I don't know if it's public information, but I love the little get-togethers that you have on a weekly basis. We won't say when and where, but...
Anybody who buys margaritas is good people.
Yeah. Yeah. So that you, yeah. I agree.
That's a direct door to my heart, right? I like that.
Good taste in drinks.
Yeah, it's a good conversation, too. Yep. I like that. I'm your host, Mark Ebinger, the owner of Krukus Virtual Staffing, a company that specializes in hiring virtual assistants from outside the United States.
And I'm Howie Nestel. I own Sharkmatic Advertising. I've been in marketing for 30 years. We do graphic design, web design, and search engine optimization. Didn't start off that way. There was no internet when I got into the business, so we had to keep ourselves busy with logos and videos and billboard design. But, you know, then this whole thing, World Wide Web, came around, and now we've completed 1,100 websites and starting to figure it out. Yeah.
All right, a quick reminder to check out the Let's Talk Business podcast on all major podcast platforms and social media where you can catch video versions of the show, which really is the only way to do a podcast, is put it on video. You can get to everything easily from our website at satalkradio.com. Now, if you're going to be in the San Antonio area on May 16th, make sure you guys check out the Let's Talk Business Mega Mixer, which is going to be at the Project Cowork Central from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Now, we're expecting 150 to 200 people at this one. This is going to be mega. When we say mega, we're not talking, you know, 14 or 15 people. We're going to 10X that. Of course, all the proceeds of the ticket sales are going to go to a local nonprofit. How you want to tell them about that?
Yeah, the nonprofit this time around for the Mega Mixer is going to be Discovery Camps. It's a camp for kids battling cancer that's been around for 40 years. Longer than your business, Wes and Shane, longer than my business. The organization's been around for four decades. They serve children and their families who have been negatively impacted by cancer. And these kids get to go on a sleepaway summer camp experience for an entire week. We have oncology docs and nurses here. I say we because I'm on the board of directors. And then we have hospital camps, and we have sibling camp, and we have bereavement camp. And there are a lot of sub-camps of this. But 100% of the proceeds go to them. And if we have 150 people at the Mega Mixer, $1,500. All the ticket proceeds go directly to Discovery Camps. So if we have 200 people, then $2,000 goes to them.
Yep. And, you know, when we look to pick our nonprofit, you know, because that's like a roll in the dice. I know there's thousands of them here in San Antonio. But Howie's the hookup there because he vets out nonprofits before he gets involved with them.
Yeah, and our viewers can vet it themselves. Go to discoverycamps.org and see what the organization does.
All right, you can get to all the information by visiting our website, satalkradio.com. Now, when you go over to get your tickets to the event, there's actually a video with Discovery Camps that's on the Eventbrite page as well. All right, a quick shout out to Phil Capistani at Artisan Pastries and Breads for being one of our gold sponsors at the upcoming Let's Talk Business Mega Mixer on May 16th. Artisan Pastries and Breads provides 100% homemade, diabetic-friendly baked goods, which I like those, right? Less sugar, less carbs, more flavor. You can visit them here in San Antonio at 11103 West Avenue or visit them online at artisanpastriesandbreads.com. They also do a pop-up at the Chicho Boys? It's spelled Chicho, but Fruit Market. You guys familiar with that?
It's not at all.
It's off of Laredo, I think.
Laredo? Yeah, but I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
Laredo and 35?
Yeah, well, it's spelled Chicho Boys Fruit Market on Saturdays from 10:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. So he's going to bring me some sourdough bread, so I'm super excited.
Great. Since you're trying to cut down on sugar, let me just move the soda out of the way.
I'm having the bread, which is going to be lower in sugar, but I still got to have my Cokes in the morning.
Okay.
So... All right, I want to give a quick shout-out to Alan Utley, a human resources director over at Travel and Leisure Company, and also to Christine Beaver, the director of operations and client services at Northwestern Mutual. These are two folks I just connected with on LinkedIn, and I'm excited to network with you guys. And, of course, we invite you to some of the mixer activities that we've got going on. So speaking of which, Let me start with this, since we're right there, is you guys, Wes, you're involved with the BPSA, Business Professional San Antonio. They do a mixer every month. Tell me real quick about that.
Yeah, sure. We benefit a different nonprofit each month. So we'll pick a local business and we'll have the mixer there. We usually have between 80 and 100 people. Appreciate you guys attending that. You guys always bring a handful of individuals. It's a good opportunity to build relationships with people and network, spread awareness about your brand and whatnot. So, and then the side focus being everyone who attends, $10 entry fee that goes directly to the nonprofit. So we're big on benefiting nonprofits. Appreciate you. That cancer is kind of special to me too. My wife had cancer a couple years back. So it's definitely, especially with children, it's unfortunate that it affects people of all ages. So
it does. Yeah. And you guys, I love the model because you guys also donate money. And you might say, well, yeah, Howie, where do you think you all stole it from? The idea. But I love the fact that theirs is $10, ours is $10. They give the money to charity, we give the money to charity.
Heck yeah.
But you know what? We attend y'all's events, you attend our events. So I think it's great synergy, really.
Yeah.
And so I love what BPSA is doing. What's the website for BPSA?
That's a great question.
It's bpsaevents.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
I go there and I share it all the time. So, yeah. And just a quick shout out to Genevieve Sims, one of the co-hosts of this show. She introduced me to the proper way to network when I was at a BPSA event. And she took me and she's like, went around and introduced me to people. I hadn't seen that before at a mixer, and I was completely blown away by it.
Well, I mean,
it.
You're
like,
an ex-cop.
Awesome.
What do you know about networking? You know what I mean? You're used to just taking and doing all the talking
orders.
And not letting anybody else.
But that was just a great model. So, yeah, I mean, obviously R&D, rip off and duplicate, absolutely. You know what I mean? So it's an inspiration. So, again, shout out to what you guys are doing over there. And to the whole team, who are the other members on the board over there?
Chris, Nicole, we just added a new gentleman. I believe his name is Daryl. Dayon with Yoke Tax. Of course, Genevieve, you mentioned her already.
Yeah, all very good-looking people, by the way.
And Sarah.
Yeah.
Can't leave out Sarah.
Oh, yeah, Sarah, too. Yeah. Sarah with New York Life.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a great mm-hmm. group of individuals. I enjoy serving with them and networking with them and getting to share that time with the community.
And you all mm-hmm. seem to spread the love, because when I see videos pop up for BPSA, there's different members of your leadership team out there promoting it and all that. So nice, cohesive effort.
It's really easy to promote BPSA. You take three things that I think all of us really enjoy: local businesses, local restaurants from around San Antonio that host it. You bring in the local nonprofits, mm-hmm. and I know that's something to everybody in this room is really important. And then you bring in good people. And it's not just about networking for business. It's about building relationships. And I think with those three cornerstones, it's a
Absolutely.
Fantastic event.
That's a great way of putting it. You know, and I always tell people, when you do well in business, don't forget to do good. You know, so you guys are doing well by mixing with people that you can do business with. And then you're also doing good at the same time.
Yeah,
win-win.
There's a lot of networking opportunities out there. And, you know, I get invites to a lot of stuff. But that BPSA event's on my calendar for a reason. So... anyway, love it. All right, so Wes, you started SD Tech, and it's been a long time since you started it, right? So let's go back to the beginning and tell me a little bit about the background that led you to starting SD Tech.
Sure. So my dad used to be a practicing architect, and back in the day, it was probably around when Howie got started, and there was no internet.
Yeah.
There was no Best Buy, there was no Dell, so you couldn't just go out and purchase a computer. If you wanted or needed a computer, you had to build one. And so I would watch him. I'd go with him to Altec's. I was in high school at the time. Go with him to Altec's and watch him purchase all these components and put these things together. He's always been a do-it-yourselfer, and it fascinated me. And so watching him do that and learning initially from him, now I teach him at this point, but... at the beginning, he was teaching me, and so I'd watch him put together the computers. Back then, you had to load the operating system and all that kind of stuff, and he would use it for AutoCAD. So AutoCAD was just kind of starting out at the time. And so after learning from him, I started assisting some of his colleagues. And so he would have other architects that he worked with, partnered with, whatnot. They wanted to get into AutoCAD as well, and they didn't know how to put together a computer because they were as old or older than my dad was. And so they'd be like, hey, can I hire your son to come build me a computer? And that's how I kind of got into IT in the beginning. And at first it was kind of a side hustle. And so that was when I was in high school. I'd just do it in, you know, weekends and evenings and stuff like that. But after high school, I had a couple jobs. I graduated early from Owl Heights, and then I started working at Southwest Research. Worked there part-time, and it was a contract position. After that, I had an opportunity to kind of step up into a better position over at, it was called Caremark at the time. CVS ended up purchasing them, but I worked evening shift over there. Worked there for a while. That was a full-time position, and then I went to IBM up in Austin, contract position, did some Y2K stuff, came back to San Antonio, worked at USA for a while. They had a bunch of bank systems and other servers that I was basically in charge of overseeing. And then they had a hiring freeze. So I was going to end up getting hired on full time. And that kind of fell through. And I decided, you know what, I'm done with the corporate thing. I'm gonna make a go at making SD Tech a full-fledged company. And that's when I actually started. It was around 2000.
What was the inspiration for the name?
The name I actually came up with when it was my side hustle, and I wanted to come up with a name that was not as pigeonholed in on one particular thing like networking or computers or something. And so I came up with the idea of system design technologies because everything we do.
Side dollars. Side dollars tech.
Side dollars tech, yeah, I like it.
All right, I lost that bet.
But yeah, system design technologies, because everything we do is a system. So it's computer systems, networking systems, audio systems, conference room systems. Everything is a system, so it all interacts in one way, form, or fashion together. So I wanted something that would kind of encompass all of those.
Yeah, so. You know, I like the story about your dad, you know, and now you're teaching him. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, that my dad has a great quote. He says, sometimes a student surpasses the master.
Yes. This is the you best know? Way for it to happen.
Yeah. And it's a great legacy that he's leaving. You know, I try to think about it. You might do the same thing with your kid, but what's the legacy we're leaving and what are they learning from us? You know, I learned business from my grandfather, but by hanging around and going to the store and helping out. So, yeah, good story.
Yeah, I like that too. It's just not like the Sith side, right, where they kill the master, right?
No, have to not quite.
That would not be good, right? So what kind of services are you guys providing over at SD Tech?
What kind of services do you require?
Right. Yeah.
That's a better question.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things I really enjoy about the name behind or the story behind system design technologies is you have an individual who's 16, 17 years old, right? And now it's been a few decades since then. And he had the forethought to come up with a name that encompasses many different aspects of what he would eventually build out through SD Tech. So I joke about what types of services do you need, but it's a very long list of services that we provide.
And Shane, that's a great point because I'm in marketing, and sometimes people get bottled in with a name. We did a name change for a company that was called, and it's a local company, I'll give them a plug, Richmond Paper and Ink. And so 10 years ago, I asked them, I say, hey, so how much of your business is paper and ink? Because I'm here in the warehouse and I see no paper and I see no ink. They're like, oh, yeah, no, that was in the early days, whatever. And I said, so what are some of your differentiators? He goes, you know, we provide a local advantage to being able to service our clients with anything they need. Gloves during the pandemic, mask, you know, other kinds of stuff. And so we did a transition from the old name, Richmond Paper and Ink, that was around since the 80s. To Richmond Advantage. So, you know, sometimes you can get out of it and open up, but, you know, sometimes you get bottled in, right? So that's a great point. And Shane, tell us a little bit about what you do there. What's your role at SD Tech?
Oh, my role differs heavily from day to day, but essentially for the last 5 years, the most important aspect of my role has been taking as much off of Wes's plate as possible and allowing him to focus on his strengths, on his core strengths. He's spent 20-ish years working on SD Tech before I stepped into the operations. And it was really interesting because I watched this individual, and I actually just watched for like the first 3 months. I promise you, I did very little work I just witnessed the man doing what he had done for a couple of decades. And what I realized is he had a small team of employees, and they were great at what they did. But Wes did everything. He came in and he spot checked everything. He would work from not terribly early. We're not early morning people, I'm not going to lie. He would work from about 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. He would break usually around 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the evening and spend an hour and a half, 2 hours with the kids and wife. And then he would be back at work no later than 9 p.m. And he would work until about 2:30 to 3 o'clock in the morning every day. And so during my first couple months, I was like, this is what this dude has been doing for two decades in order to make this company successful. So I spent the first few months going, what is he really good at? And then what is he doing that needs to be done? And so everything that needed to be done, but he wasn't great at, I started figuring out what I could do. And if I couldn't do it personally, then I started looking and going, okay, what roles do we have in the company right now that can be touched up on and can take some of these things off of his plate, off of my plate? 5 years later, my primary responsibilities are staffing, management, training, and then just day-to-day operations and making sure that I'm the one that's coming in and making sure that 90% of everything is happening the way it should be happening. 10% still Wes. All right, I'm not perfect. Wes is still heavily involved. And then I help with the franchise side of things, business development, but that's where Wes's specialty is, and that's where I just assist.
Yeah, love it. And that's that yin-yang thing. We all need it because entrepreneurs, God bless us, man, we're not good at a lot of things. We think we're good at everything, and we're not good at most things. But there's certain things that got us to the 20-yard line, but you need sometimes somebody else to carry the ball into the end zone because the philosophy and the strategy that got you to a certain point is going to pretty much keep you there. And you have to come with a different mindset or different people to go further away. And that's another lesson for entrepreneurs, seriously, because if you do things the way you've always done them, you're going to end up in the same place you've always been.
Yep. Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. You mentioned something about franchises, but I don't want to jump to that just yet because I think there's still some other things to talk about SD Tech. Sometimes you told us about how it started, what the kind of history was, but sometimes there's these moments in the startup of a business that something really pisses you off, you disagree with somebody or something, or you see some problem that's not being met, and you're like, shit, I can do this better. Can I say that? Do we have the little button for the bad words? Anyway, was there a moment for that in your business?
Yeah, for sure. So we experienced, say, probably gradual growth over the first, I'd say, maybe 10 or so years. And I had been going to Massage Heights, probably it's a membership-based massage and spa, and built a friendship with the massage therapist I would go see. I'd go see her, like, at that time, probably, like, once a month or every 2 weeks. And I went in there one day for my appointment, and they were at the front desk, they were messing with the phones and the connector, like trying to figure out there was static on the line or they couldn't hear the caller or whatnot, or caller couldn't hear them. And so I went in my session and I asked Sarah, I said, what's going on with the phones up front? And she goes, oh, they've been having issues for a couple of weeks. We're going to have to go to the owner and ask him to buy a new phone system. And he's not going to like that because he's cheap. So they're like, okay, cool. So I'm thinking to myself, well, we started offering phones maybe like 2 years before that, and this sounded like a good opportunity. So I said, well, would you guys be willing to try out our phones here? And she said, you could talk with the retreat director, who's the manager, and see if she'd be open to that. And so when I get out of session, I go and I talk to the retreat director, and I said, hey, would you guys be willing to do a trial here? And if you guys like it, then you could pay for the recurring service, but we'll let you guys, you know, loan the equipment to you guys and whatever's needed, the phones, et cetera, to get started. She's like, let me talk to the owner. So she calls the owner, who incidentally turns out to be the co-founder of the company, and talks with him, and he's like, who the hell is this Wes guy? And so she tells him he comes and sees Sarah every couple of weeks, and so he calls Sarah because he had a good friendship. Sarah's been there like 14, 16 years or something like that. And so call Sarah's like, who's this West guy? And he comes and sees me all the time. He has an IT company, blah, blah, blah. So he ends up giving me, he gives me a call, gives us the opportunity. So at the time I had a couple business partners. I went and talked to them and said, hey guys, I think this is a huge opportunity. They have like 110 locations across the U.S. This location's owned by the co-founder of the company. I think if we can get our foot in the door here, that would open doors for other locations. But it's going to cost us about $2,000 up front. And so because there are four owners, we kind of discussed amongst ourselves. And the idea was shot down. But I believe so much in the opportunity that I ended up ponying up the money myself, bought the equipment, went in after hours on my own time, installed it, set it up, configured it. And that was, I don't know, 2014-ish timeframe. We still to this day have that particular location as a client, and that was the starting point of our relationship with Massage Heights. Now we service all 110 of their locations.
Incredible.
With tablets and iPads and stuff like that. So they made a transition to paperless. That was another huge opportunity for us. It wasn't just about the tablets and all that kind of stuff. I saw it as an opportunity to get a direct connection and interface with each and every owner in the entire organization. So even though in the long term, the recurring service fees wouldn't be a huge windfall profits or anything like that, it would give us a connection, unique connection with each individual owner and the potential to provide upgraded services. Maybe they need new phones, new networking equipment, what have you. And we ended up picking up probably about another 30, 40 locations out of that. So now, like I said, about 110 with the tablets and everything, and I'd say probably about 80-ish or so with other various managed services, phones, things like that.
Yeah,
so.
And you know, for all the entrepreneurs and especially for all the wantrepreneurs listening in, sometimes you got to spend some money to make money, but yeah. All these DIYers that are going to Office Depot to print some crappy cards and say they're in business, it's going to take a lot more than that, right? The kind of investment you need to make sometimes and the risk you have to take
yes.
in order to try to get these kinds of returns. And that's why your business is kind of blown up, right? Because, I mean, I've been to y'all's office, and it's quite impressive.
But what was the response from the partners?
Well, I'm not partners with them anymore. We're still friends. We're still friends. Good. We maintain a good friendship. We go and see movies all the time together. It's funny because that those five phones, that was a waste of time at that time in their eyes, blossomed into this huge relationship. And that's even extending that, we've gotten referrals to other franchise systems. A Taney one most recently, actually, as a matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, the ex-CTO for Massage Heights kind of stepped away from his position there to run his own company. He created equipment management system he uses for a lot of gyms and stuff like that. But he also interfaces with other franchisors, and one of them is a tanning franchise, and he connected us with them. So it's just like connections.
And you have that expertise because you've worked with a yep. franchise before. You learned it, and now you're better suited than anybody else who has a tech company or an IT company that does that. It's never worked with 110 location franchise yep. business.
And the relationships. I mean, that's what.
Yeah, 100%. The relationships. That's another one, man. Don't burn bridges. Take it from a guy who has enemies. You know, don't burn bridges.
We've known each other for a long time.
We have, man. That was great when we ran into each other. We both had we shared a client, but we didn't know we shared a client. You were on the IT side, we were on the marketing side doing a website, and then we talked, and I still had your phone numbers and all that yep. stuff here for a company called Supador that got sold out, and you know, and that it was great working together. And again, we stayed in touch, and you know, we didn't talk for a while, but then once we connected, we're like, oh my God, brought it all back yep. together.
Let me circle around to customer service, and that's a big part of business. It's relationships can be a great start, you know what I mean? And good customer service, a good execution can lead to referrals. But I know you guys focus on those customer service relationships. So, Wes, how do you guys do that? What are you really honing in on to make sure you deliver?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
You're good.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah. Shane.
So it's interesting, right? So you're right. Customer service is one of our biggest differentiators between us and our competitors. And we talk about customer service and relationships as if they're two separate things. And in my eyes, they're not. Customer service and relationships really go hand in hand, right? I enjoy my relationship with Howie because he's always pleasant towards me. And because we drink together,
yeah.
That, you know, it helps. But it's the way we interact with one another, and that's truly what customer service is too, right? There's good customer service, that's good relationships, and then there's negative customer service, and you know those aren't great relationships.
But how come business owners all think and business and people that are in charge of customer service, why do they always think that they're good at customer service even they're not? When most businesses don't provide good customer services. And it's hard for me to look at myself and my company objectively. But if I get a text from a client or we get an email and all that stuff and it's not pleasant, then I know we're dropping the ball. So you said, Shane, you said differentiator. So, how do you guys, what do you all do to ensure that you're elevating your customer service game and really providing good customer service? So how do you know?
Before I tell you what it is we do, let me start by telling you that I understand what you just said. And I think that a lot of people won't. The majority of business owners are going to say that they're good at customer service. I expect that all of you would say that you're good at customer service. Everybody listening, not just the people in this room, because I know y'all are good at customer service. But the reality is when I talk about customer service as relationship building, the majority of people think that they're good at relationships, right? How many people have you ever met that say, I am not good at relationships? So if we're good at relationships, why is it that there's, you know, a very high rate of divorce? Clearly, as individuals, we're not actually good at relationships. The majority of your personal relationships are going to fail. The majority of our relationships that we've had since we were kids, we grow distant from them. That's what makes us good at customer service, is the fact that what we are good at is building healthy relationships. And the way we build those relationships showcases through our customer service, right? So I know that I'm good at building relationships and I know that I'm good at customer service because I understand what good customer service actually is. So this weekend, I already talked to Wes about this. I've talked to probably 5 or 6 people since Friday afternoon about this new business that I went and did work with. This business called Premier One here in San Antonio. They have 2 locations. It's an automotive service.
Yeah, I've seen one around 281. I saw that.
I don't talk a lot about that part of enjoying cars. I don't talk a lot about the different shops that I've gone to unless it's bad experiences. But Premier One, I went and visited them. They did an alignment on my car. My car's a little lower, so it requires special care. So I go into their shop and their front desk person, their receptionist, their guy doing the intake, whatever you want to call it, very pleasant. It was a very pleasant experience. He checks me in. It was quick. It was efficient. He had a nice smile. It's good customer service. He lets me know, hey, we have this great little lobby that you can go sit at, a couple massage chairs, coffee, water, and Wi-Fi. And I was like, nice. The majority of people are going to say that's great customer service. And I would say that's bare minimum in order to have me come back and do business with you again. But it's what happened after that I really appreciated and why I'm choosing to talk about that right now. So afterwards, I had been sitting for about 5 or 10 minutes. The guy comes back around and he's like, hey, we're taking pictures of your car before and after. We have a social media guy that's on staff and he's going to be posting it. You good with that? I like that. So you're investing money into your company. You have a full-time social media manager. That's the first thing I noticed. Not customer service, but now I'm paying attention from business aspect. And he said, I also noticed that you have spacers on your wheels. What size are they? And I was like, okay. So we start talking. He shows me pictures of his car. He's getting ready to put spacers on it. So now he's building a relationship, right? We found this point of mutual interest and they already have my business, right? There's no reason to do this,
right. But
it's nice. It's a pleasant conversation. We have something in common. And he's like, hey, would you like to see the rest of the shop? Would you like a tour? We've only been open since November. Absolutely. Show me around. Do I have a big interest in seeing the back end of a shop? No, not really. Like, this is something that is important to me because I enjoy cars, but it's not the part of cars that I enjoy. However, what I do like is that you have enough confidence in what you have going on behind the scenes to walk me around, which means that you have confidence in your technicians to be doing high quality work without, you know, there's no announcement. Hey, we're bringing Shane on back. Everybody put on
clean
your game.
Up. Yeah.
So he goes, he shows me around. He shows me the owner's car. He's telling me a little bit about the history of the company. And this is the guy that's working the front desk. Then he tells me a little bit about their neighboring business, which the owners own, and he walks me around. He introduces me to the owners, and I ended up spending probably an hour and a half talking with various people from Premiere One. And all of that was just to build relationships, right? They're not getting any extra money from
it. No, it would be much easier for him to sit behind the desk and continue with his social media instead of giving you this tour.
So, and instead I end up spending an hour and a half. I had taken the day off, and then I ended up messaging Wes, and I'm like, hey, so turns out I worked all day, but it was great. You know, I met the owners of this business, and then we're talking. They enjoy working with nonprofits, so that leads us to talking about Manny and Ferrari Kid and the automotive industry. And it was all about building this great network. It was just good customer service. And now what do they have? They have somebody that's sitting here on this podcast where we should be talking about SD Tech.
Right.
And instead I'm giving a shout out to another company.
20,000 YouTube subscribers. Plug for Let's Talk Business podcast. Make sure. But yeah, and that because it's extraordinary. Extraordinary means outside the ordinary. Doesn't have to be the best in the world. It just has to be outside the ordinary. And unfortunately, the ordinary, the bare minimum, is so low that most businesses could very easily surpass that bare minimum customer service. This is a lot. I'm loving that. I'm loving that. And then you connect. Then later on, you met somebody, and then they're like, oh, my God, by the way, I know we fixed your car, but we're having some problems with our blah, blah, blah network.
Yep.
Let me tell you what we can do.
For me, it turned out that, so they have two locations here in San Antonio for Premier One. They just launched another business called Revved, and now they're looking at opening up a third location for Premier One in Dallas. And I was like, well, who's handling all of the networking, the build-out aspect for your new offices? And they're like, oh, well, it's one of our partners. He also happens to be really good at technology, so he's been handling this. Well, that's great when you're local and it's your small business and you're launching here. I said, who are you guys going to be using for Dallas? And she said, I don't know. I was hoping you had a card. It's like, look at that. Fantastic. You know, and it started with the relationship building.
Yeah. And it's authentic too. You know what I mean? It's not a hustle. It's
authentic. That's a great word. Authentic, genuine. I still maintain that one of the edges a business owner or a business manager can have in the success of a business is that you have to genuinely like people and like relationships. And you have to have other people's best interests at heart because God, Mother Nature, and karma all know that if you're doing it for self-promotion purposes, it almost never works. But if you're there to really serve others, not just wear it on your T-shirt, but really do it, you get it. Was it Zig Ziglar that said, if you help other people get what they want, you'll get everything you want?
Yeah. So let's talk about help desk support and how you guys handle IT issues. So how do you handle them when they're remote? You touched on that a little bit.
So how we handle them when remote is with pleasure. Seriously, though, I would say about 80 to 90% of all of our help desk is remote. Wes has put things in place since he was a teenager that allowed for SD Tech to be fully scalable. We have clients from all up and down California. We have clients in Florida. We have clients in New York. I have 10, 11 clients in Canada, and then almost everywhere in between. Not everywhere. I'm still missing a couple of the states. But all of them are supported from our small team here in San Antonio. We don't outsource any of the help desk work. It's all done here. And the way we manage that is by making sure that we have systems in place that allow for remote management. And this is something that a lot of people are not familiar with, but there's ton of different software that allows for remote management capabilities. And so we figured out what works for us. We've trialed a ton of different platforms, and we have found a great stack that allows for us to support wherever you are.
Right.
So, but what about on-site issues? So how do you handle those if they're in New York?
Wes?
Well, a lot of times we don't have on-site issues. That's part of the hardware and the software that we put in place through years and years of experience and troubleshooting and all those kinds of things is what allows us to support. You know, when Massage Heights was using a nationwide vendor to do their tablet rollout, and this is pre-COVID, and the vendor was having an issue getting the tablets and everything delivered and onboarded for the locations in less than 6 to 8 weeks, which there was no shipping delays and things like that back then. They came to us and said, would you be interested in taking it on? We said, sure, yeah, we'd love to help you guys with that. And we were able to do, you know, like 2-week turnarounds without an issue. But trying to figure out how to manage all of that remotely as we're taking on all these additional locations at a very rapid rate. We did that whole rollout in probably, say, maybe like 12 months. So they were at maybe 20-ish or so locations had the tablets already when we started. So
you're talking about probably 10 a month.
Yeah, right? Easily. So we're just like cranking out tablets like nothing. So researching, determining which software to use for management of the tablets that would allow us the greatest visibility remotely. And then the other challenge was some of the locations that had already been onboarded, we then had to transition those locations, most of which were remote, from their existing platform to the new platform. So it comes with experience and trial and error sometimes, but everything that I've brought into SD Tech as either a service that we're selling or a system that we're using, I've looked at it from the angle of what's the scalability of the system. Is this going to work for the first 10 clients and after that it's going to be an issue? Or is it going to scale, you know, say infinitely? Nothing's infinite.
So scalability is super important, but what about effectiveness? Because I'm a fan of not outsourcing a lot of the things that we do because we maintain a good element of control and it's part of our signature offering because we spent a lot of time, money, and effort figuring it out and we want to provide that. Sometimes it's less expensive to sub it out to a third party. So what advantages are there for your clients that you don't outsource your help desk?
So, Howie, I'll answer your question. And Mark, I am going to give you an honest answer to your question, okay? So we've answered most of it, but there's still part of it. So your question, what benefit is there for our client of us not outsourcing? And Mark, your question was, what happens when we do have to go out in person to somewhere in New York? I'll use Colorado as an example, though. So one of our pillars, one of our core values is do it right the first time. And I think that this is a core value for a lot of companies, similar to saying a lot of companies say that customer service is a core value. We know it's BS. So, but for us, do it right the first time is a core value because we support people from California, Florida, New York, and Canada. I can't support them efficiently. And I don't mean like handle things when they go wrong, but I mean from a money standpoint, from a business standpoint, I cannot support them efficiently if I'm having to travel to Canada once a month. It just becomes very inefficient. Not a good relationship. It's not healthy for either party. So we avoid that type of situation by doing it right the first time. And what doing it right the first time looks like for us starts with research and development. What systems do we have in place? What technologies do we have in place that are going to provide us with a high amount of uptime, right? Low failure. The second thing is just because the systems are good systems doesn't mean that we are necessarily implementing them correctly. So we make sure that we are implementing them correctly by keeping that part in-house. I'm not opposed to outsourcing some of our business. We're going to talk to you about that, I think, on Wednesday, Mark, but not the help desk portion because it's a critical element. So if we can get the systems correct and we can implement them correctly, then we know that there's going to be a low chance that we're going to have to return in person. And that's what allows for us to offer a great catalog of services to our clients for a much higher or much lower rate, but a much higher competitive rate.
Yeah,
is because we have great efficiency.
That makes sense. And it's mission critical that their technology and information systems work because it's not just, I'm just going to go buy a replacement computer, server, NAS drive, whatever it is. It's my business is down and I can't do business. Now they're bleeding tens of thousands of dollars a day, an hour, a minute. And they're going to be mad.
They are going to be mad.
That's not work.
And fortunately, that's not something that we come across very often. We have multiple failover systems in place that will assure that we can do things remotely. 95-98% of the time is probably closer. But occasionally, stuff comes up and we do have to go out in person. So when we have to go out in person I was going to use Colorado. One of the more recent times that we had to go out to Colorado, we had three different locations that needed a piece of equipment upgraded, and it was an essential piece of equipment. This wasn't something that we could drop ship and then ask the client to take care of on their own, because sometimes that's the case, right? because sometimes it's just really simple. Right. Hey, I need you to pull a sleeve off, pop a new sleeve on. Why would I want to do that for you? Well, because it's going to help keep your cost down, and that's one of the ways we manage. Other times it's going to be, I need this entire piece of main equipment swapped out, and we can't have any room for failure, right? Everything needs to be done exactly the way it needs to be done. So the last time we needed three of our retreats upgraded, how did we handle that, Wes? You went on vacation, right?
Yeah, I flew out there.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable. I'm a very extreme person, so I planned it all out. I flew in, got in around 7 in the morning. I had it all mapped out to get the rental car, drive to Colorado Springs, swap the equipment out at the locations, and then drive back and then be home by dinner. Oh. But part of that, in extending that a little bit too, in avoiding issues on site, we send our techs, we have an install team that goes out on site to install this equipment. Part of how we avoid issues in the future is by prepping everything at the office first before we deploy. So equipment that needs to be provisioned comes to the office. Our technicians set it up and configure it. That way it's tested against DOA and things like that. Then the install team will take it out and get it installed. And we become the mandated vendor for installations on the IT spectrum for companies like Massage Heights. So we'll interface with the new owner when they're opening a new location. For example, they're doing two actually in California now that they just signed on. So we'll interface with that franchisee, give them turnkey packages, say, hey, this, this, and this. We'll schedule an installation time, coordinate with the GC, go out there and take care of it.
Yeah.
Simple enough, right?
Yeah.
There was something I wanted to hit on because I don't know how we're doing on time.
We're going
to
get into franchising.
Yeah, you go. You take
this
take
is
over.
Really cool what you guys are doing here. And again, this word scalability keeps coming up. And when you build it from the ground up with that in mind, I've done the same thing with my company. I was a cop for a long time. It's not scalable, right? And it's the income's finite, right? I mean,
right.
You kind of top out somewhere. I wanted something that didn't have a glass ceiling on me, that I could continue to grow. And so you're doing the same thing. I've heard that from the start of this conversation. It was all about you being able to scale things properly, right? So what is the franchise goal? What are you doing there? What's the rollout right. look like? What do you want to tell us in that space?
Sure. I'll speak a little bit about it, and I'll let Shane kind of pop in too and give his take on it. But it all kind of spawned in an evening conversation with one of my buddies at the other tech company that I used to be partnered with. And we're talking about scaling and growing and adding new locations and things like that. And started thinking about the franchise bit. There's a handful of tech franchises out there right now. But to my knowledge, none of them offer the breadth of services that we offer. And we wanted to scale without having to add additional corporate locations. And so after a bunch of thought and deliberation, we decided to go the franchise route. And we brought in a gentleman from California, partnered with him. He has a little boutique franchise creation organization. He's had a franchise of his own that he built from the ground up. And so he kind of takes you by the hand and leads you through that process. He's got partners like on the legal side and on the copywriting side to copyright and write up the FDD and all that kind of stuff. It's a long process. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not like 5 minutes, slap together an FDD and boom, you're off to the races, right? And then you got to get audits on year two and all that kind of stuff. We've been going through a lot of that. And then finding ways to market it to the right people, getting in front of the right people. We had a kind of a website we were using that sent us leads, but a lot of those people were just kicking tires, wasting our time and things like that. So when we got involved with the broker networks, that's when you're having people that have a financial interest bringing you leads that are much, much better vetted out of the gate, and they're actually a higher opportunity to close.
Yeah, they're headhunters, right?
They are.
For franchises, mm-hmm. Yeah. And that makes sense, and that's a great business model. And there you also find people that are successful at franchises. So my agency pitched along with another agency to do marketing for somebody who started a franchise 2 years ago. They've already sold 100 franchises.
Wow.
But that guy was already in the industry for 30 years. And he had a couple of successful franchise as a franchisee, not as a franchisor. Took all that expertise, probably a few years in building it. And the minute they came out of the gate, within 18 months, they sold 100 franchises.
That is incredible. That's
incredible.
That is not the route we are going.
Right.
So if there's 100 of you out there listening right now, we are not interested in 100 new franchisees. Right. We're taking a very different approach than what the average franchisor does. The average franchisor, once they franchise their company, they are looking to make money hand over fist, right? I mean, it's a business at the end of the day. SD Tech has made a three-decade career out of building relationships. And since building relationships is the most important part of our technology-based business, we want to be very deliberate in how we're going about building those relationships. So Wes was saying a little bit about the franchise. There's two very important pieces of the franchise system that I want to talk about. One, before we decided to go the franchise route, we were looking at scaling our company, and we knew that we wanted to have some expansion financially, but we didn't know how we wanted to go about that expansion. So we were looking at the possibility of opening up a second or third corporate-based office. Expanding our local footprint will make it easier to expand in that local market, even though we are a remote-based business. We know how this works, right? It's just good to have local representation. A second option was growing out one of our other business models and offering one of our services at higher scale. It's a little bit more complicated, so I don't want to get into all the ins and outs with that. The franchise idea actually came up between Wes and a couple of friends over an evening dinner. And one of them said, somebody said, we should consider franchising. And then somebody else said, that's not possible. And Wes said, challenge accepted.
Yes.
True.
That's how it happened. So Wes was in Dallas at the time. They were at an F1 race. He comes back, and we're at it's not hidden. We're at El Marisol's having chispas the Wednesday after he gets back. And he's like, Shane, hey, this is what happened. This is what transpired. What do you think about franchising? And then that started like a 2-3 week conversation where we're breaking things down, and we're looking at these different avenues that we can go to expand our business. And the franchise idea is by far the most costly. It requires the most money.
Yeah, I was going to say, you pick the most expensive way of doing it, because you could go open up another SD Tech with a different name in Colorado and then sell that one.
Yep, we could.
Or maybe you all move there and take over that one and sell the one here and keep.
Oh, yeah. Acquisitions was the other thing that we were really looking at. So, yeah, it's the most expensive to start up. And it's, in most cases, not your case, Howie, not the one you brought up. It's typically the slowest to build. But there was a really interesting challenge that was presented, right? Not just the faux challenge between friends of saying it can't be done, but we're looking at this as a business model and going, okay, what is franchising SD Tech? What problem does it solve? And the majority of entrepreneurs should know that the two strongest industries to try and break in through is going to either be the medical industry, right? Super fast growing. We know it's not going anywhere. Billions of dollars.
But lots of money going through it. Yeah.
And then the second one is tech. Technology has been really fast growing. You can look at any chart anywhere. A quick Google search will show you that it's one of the better industries to break into. And it's not going anywhere. I don't care what business you're running. Technology supports it. It can be a podcast. It can be a marketing. It could be a taco truck. The majority of people don't think about taco trucks, but you have to have a POS system. You're going to have Wi-Fi. You're going to have a telephone. Every business requires technology. So the biggest hurdle with getting into technology, though, is it's similar to the medical field. You already have to have a strong background. And if you're going to build a company like SD Tech, you have to have a Wes. You have to have some little, prodigy genius who was just great at technology before Y2K, where most people think that was BS, that was just made up. But you have to have somebody that's capable of supporting all of the different technologies, and they also happen to be business savvy and good at customer service.
Yeah. Well, because if not, then you don't have a differentiator.
Right.
Because you could probably go and aggregate some of these services from third-party providers, but that doesn't make you a technology services company. It makes you a mini aggregator that most people will say, so what? You're never going to get hired by a Massage Heights. You're never going to be hired by another big franchisor right. company, because you're not any different. All you're doing is getting. So yeah, I agree with you. That's a differentiator. But again, it's expensive. Now, where are you guys at the point, and how could somebody, one, reach out to SD Tech, but two, how could somebody who maybe is thinking about a franchise? You know, I put somebody with Wes that owns a franchise in the tech space that maybe wants to look at yours as a possible option.
So if you're looking at a franchise, that tells me that you already have a good head on your shoulders and you know that you want to invest your money somewhere, somehow, that's going to, you know, give you a head start over an entrepreneur who's trying to build it up from the ground. So I mentioned this hurdle, right? How do you get into the tech space? So our franchise model eliminates that hurdle. We have made it to where, as long as you understand at a very high level the technology that you're supporting, you offload that back to SD Tech. And so we've taken the technology piece out. If you're interested in that concept, or you're just interested in discussing this with us at all, you can reach out to us via LinkedIn. You can find myself, Shane Mishler, Wes Ulmer. You can go to sd-tech.net. That's great, great place to start. If you don't want to interface with one of us just yet, look at the website, understand what we're doing, and then you can reach out from there.
I am kind of curious what the, you know, 5-year goal is on your franchising. Do you have that a number there that you're looking at, as far as locations and such?
One of the, in partnering with the gentleman's name was Scott, and partnering with Scott, you know, and he has the hands-on experience. You know, it's one thing to go to a franchise packager that his experience is on paper, right? Like, oh, I started these 3 franchises, or helped this person start these 3. He actually has experience growing a franchise from the ground up. So he's the one who helped us create it. One of the things he talked about is making sure that you start out small when you're initially growing the franchise. You know, get your first franchisee, get your second, get your third, get your fourth, right? Don't get out over your skis, you know, crawl before you walk and walk before you run, kind of thing. But, you know, we wanted to kind of stay away from the broker networks initially. And so we went with some of these other options for, you know, SEO, natural organic leads and things like that. And then some of these other sites that would promote the franchise brand. But ultimately, those didn't yield very good results. We're getting very, very good results from the broker networks. These people are pre-qualified. These people are actually interested in starting a business. They have a genuine interest in technology. A lot of these people are, there's one gentleman we spoke to in Houston that was a C-level at some company, and I think he was either the CIO or CTO or something, but those are the kind of people that are looking to like transition out of their existing positions and start their own business. And some of the big hurdles to starting your own IT business, besides just learning how to start your own business, is what vendors do you partner with? What hardware do you use? Like, where do you even begin? And you're talking about hundreds of hours of R&D to try to figure that out, or deploying a bunch of hardware and then having to backtrack and go, oh, maybe we shouldn't have used all of this stuff. We should have used this other stuff. So what we've done with the franchise is kind of remove the need to do all of that, is we're providing you with kind of a recipe, cookie cutter, if you will. Like, here's the vendors you're going to partner with. Here's the vendors you're going to use. Here's the hardware. Here's the software, blah, 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 without them having to figure all that stuff out. So they can just get to work making money. That's the whole point, right? And
sales, right?
Sales, yeah.
It's going to be their primary job. It's not service delivery, but sales, right? Right.
Primary job is going to be building relationships.
Yeah, For the first year, we want them solely focused on that foundation, that relationship building. Once they have that revenue coming in, once they've gotten past the first year, then they can switch to start hiring technicians and things like that. But we didn't want to saddle them with a bunch of expenses right out of the gate. You see some of these other franchise systems where, you know, you got to drop, you know, $500,000 on a build out, and then you've got to...
Oh, no, and then they're working, they're making the sandwiches, and they just, you know, they're not making any money, and they just bought themselves a $30,000 a year job. They're paying that $30,000.
Sandwiches sound good.
Close. You know? So our 5-year plan, Mark, our 5-year plan, realistically, in 5 years, we're probably looking at about 12 to 15.
Yeah.
12 to 15.
See, that's a good...
Yeah. And then we better be nice to them, because then they're going to get bought out, like Harvey Nation. Serious Computers got bought out for $1.3 billion here. Wow. And now he just spends all his time giving away money. I love it.
I don't think SD Tech will ever sell. The number that we would have to be offered would be ridiculous. Now, if you want to come to us with a ridiculous number, we'll at least entertain it. But we're working on a couple other endeavors that maybe we will end up selling some of those. But SD Tech is, it's a legacy.
My buddy Daniel Lubetsky said he wasn't going to sell the Kind Bar Company until M&M Mars showed up with $5 billion.
Hey, you know.
Never say never, Shane. No,
I'm not saying never. Never say like, never. You want to show up with $5 billion
and
you can buy me
I was about to offer you all Sharkmatic advertising for $1 billion and half can be in stock for the new company. I'm fine with that. Half cash, half stock. What do you think, Mark?
I think it's a great idea. Wes, you should jump on that immediately. All right. Well, if folks want to get in touch with you guys, how do they do that? Wes?
Well, they can go to the website, sd-tech.net, and we have a link at the top of the page to go to the franchising page as well if they want to take a look at that. LinkedIn is also a good way. Mm-hmm. So there's a multitude of... Yep. of
I just connected with Shane on LinkedIn.
He did.
Yeah, so, nice. So. You guys shouldn't be playing with your phones during a serious podcast like this.
We're doing it while you guys are
when
talking.
When is the serious podcast happening, Mark?
it's coming up after this one.
Yeah, right? When do we hit record?
All right, guys. Well, great job doing that. You know, I mean, how did you feel about the podcast?
Well, great.
Yeah.
It was a little slow going at first, you know, kind of getting into it. But this one over here has done quite a few more.
I mean, I like your chill attitude, but I think Shane needs to be the corporate psychologist. So tell me, what are you thinking? Yeah, because he's very soothing, man, and then he gives good advice. So
I am our corporate psychologist. Yeah,
got a very good head on his shoulders. So.
All right, well, as we wrap up the show, quick reminder, check out our latest podcast and catch video version of the show anytime by visiting our website at satalkradio.com. That's going to be it for this one. You guys have a great week. We'll see you on the next one.
Thanks.
Good job, everybody.